Proverbs 12 and verse number 1. The Lord showed me a passage of scripture that I've read through many, many times, and it just really stood out to me on this last week. And if you're following along in the scripture reading, as we give that in the bulletin each week, then you, I'm sure, read this as well this last week in Proverbs chapter number 12. But this verse stood out to me in a new way. I've taught over it, and I've noticed it before. There's nothing new that I'm going to give you tonight. You understand there's nothing new under the sun. But at the same time, it just struck me the absolute nature of the statement that's made in Proverbs chapter 12 in verse 1. And let's read that together. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. But notice what the Word of God tells us there. It says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Now, I would point out to you a couple of things. Number one, instruction is obviously what you think it is. It's instructions. It's somebody coming along and saying, listen, don't do what you're doing that way. Do it this way, right? Giving instruction. Reproof is the idea of someone coming along and saying, no, don't do what you're doing that way, okay? And then the term brutish means basically animal-like. It's the idea of when somebody is brutish, they're just acting according to animal instincts. They're just living as an animal would rather than a human being that has knowledge and wisdom and the ability to choose based on what's right rather than just what's based on instinct and natural fleshly desire. So the Bible tells us here that if we love instruction, then what we love is knowledge. But if we don't like reproof, if we hate reproof, if we hate it when somebody comes along and corrects us, then the way that we're living our life is basically no better than an animal. We're just living according to what feels right. And that is really a very strong verse, isn't it? That it's really a very important verse. And for us as Christians today, I want us to ask ourselves this question: how much do we seek instruction? How excited are we when we are given instructions? And certainly we can make an application to our daily life in this physical world, but more important than anything else is, what about our spiritual life? How excited are we when God comes along through His Word, His Holy Spirit using His Word, or a preacher of the gospel using His Word, whatever it is, and saying to us, what you're doing is wrong, don't do it that way, do it this way. Are we seeking that? Are we excited about it? And I would submit to you that we should be excited about it, and we should be seeking it and excited about it. Let's pray, and we'll get right into the message. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open up your Word. Thank you for the knowledge and the instruction that you give us in your Word. Thank you for this verse that you've given us here even this evening. Now, Lord, as I preach your Word, would you help me to preach it with authority, not of myself, but from you? And Lord, more than that, Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak as of the oracles of God, to speak from your mouth and not my own. And as I do so, please help these, your people, to hear you, not me, to not be concerned with Mike Weiss and who he is, or even Madison Baptist Church and who she is, but help them to be concerned with and impressed by Jesus Christ, our Savior, and his Word. I pray that that would be the emphasis here this evening. Lord, I ask that you would make it so. Then, Lord, in a very supernatural way, would you give understanding to each of us and conviction? Lord, I think specifically of our teenagers and our young people, also our young adults, Lord. Lord, I'm burdened for them. I'm concerned for them. Lord, would you, in a miraculous way, grab a hold of their attention this evening and make an application to their lives this evening, but also all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. How much do we seek instruction? If you had, maybe you were still are in a job where you have a particular task that has to be done, Maybe you're working in a factory somewhere, or maybe some kind of an employment where you're fabricating something, or maybe it is something on a computer or whatever it might be. So many different types of employment that we have in a congregation like this. But whatever it is that you're doing, have you ever had someone come along, and maybe someone who had more experience than you, and they came alongside of you and said to you, "Don't do it that way. Let me show you a better way." And they showed you a better way. What feelings came up in your heart and in your mind and in your attitude? If you're like the average person, there was not a little bit of irritation when the person came along and said, "Don't do it that way. Do it this way." Most of us have enough pride to where that bothers us when someone comes along and says, "You're doing it wrong. Do it this way." But obviously, if we're wise, especially if someone comes to us who has more experience than we do, and they say, "Don't do it that way, do it this way," we are wise to humble ourselves and push that pride down, shove it aside, and say, "I want to listen to that instruction." In fact, if we follow this passage of Scripture and just apply it to our physical lives, what you and I ought to do is we ought to love that. Let me make another application to it and say, rather than waiting for that person who has more experience to come along and say, "Don't do it that way, do it this way," you and I, if we are wise, will go to that person and say, "Can you watch what I'm doing, and can you tell me, am I doing it the right way, or is there some way I can improve?" Now, when was the last time any of us here did that? Maybe you have, and if you have, congratulations, good for you. Most don't. But when we love instruction, what it shows is we love knowledge. Well, you might say, why is knowledge important? What's so big about that? Now we're going to move beyond the physical realm, just your daily job, and let's talk about spiritual things. When was the last time you went to somebody who was spiritually more mature than you, had more experience in the Lord, maybe had a closer walk with God, and they were a good example to you, and you went to them and said, as I heard one pastor said to another pastor one time, he said, "Wound me." What he meant by that was, "Hurt my feelings. Tell me what I'm doing wrong." By the way, that pastor who I heard a story said to another pastor that pastor was Doug Fisher. How many of you know who Doug Fisher was? I think he's with the Lord now, isn't he? There's a few of us who know, only a few of us who knew of Doug Fisher. Great preacher. One of the wisest pastors in our nation in the last 50 years, in my estimation. And I heard a story that he went to another pastor and had breakfast with him and said, "Brother, wound me. Tell me, what am I doing wrong? What do you think?" When was the last time any of us did that? Well, why is that important? Let's look at what the Scripture says, all right? Let's keep ourselves in Proverbs and turn to Proverbs chapter 2. We use this for our Scripture reading this evening. Why is it important to love knowledge? When it says, "Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge." Why is that important? Well, what does Proverbs 2 tell us? "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Oh, out of God's mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Notice what it says, verse 7. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness." When? When you're crying after knowledge. "And judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee." The word "keep" means to guard, to protect. "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Not only to deliver thee from him, but look at verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go under her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Why is knowledge important? Because the knowledge that comes from God will keep you from the froward man and from the strange woman. That knowledge will keep you from those who will lead you astray. That's why it's important. And so if I am wise, if I love instruction, if I love it when someone comes along who, again, not just anybody, but somebody who has some experience and has some knowledge of their own, and they come and say, don't do it that way, do it this way. When I love that, what I show is I love instruction. And instruction is important because instruction will keep me on the right path. And I can say to you as your pastor this evening, I need God to keep me on the right path. I need God to keep me from the froward man who would lead me astray. I need God to keep me from the strange woman that flattereth with her tongue, to keep me out of her house. I need that. Well, then I better seek instruction. And friends, I know this about you because you are a sheep like I am a sheep. You also need God to keep you in that same way. So all of us would be wise. And again, I ask the question, how much do we seek instruction? Let me share with you from God's word some people who sought instruction in his word, some people who failed to seek instruction, and then we'll apply it this way. How can we seek instruction? First of all, let me say this. We struggle with seeking instruction because that requires humility. It requires humility for me to hear from somebody else, you're doing it wrong. Don't do it that way. Do it this way. And I can't speak for you. I'll just speak for myself. I struggle in the area of humility. I do not like someone to make me look bad. And I imagine you're like me. I imagine that you struggle with that also. But wait a minute. If I love knowledge, then I'll put my pride aside. If I'll love the things of God, and if I'll really want to stay away from the froward man and the strange woman, if I really want to stay out of sin, if I really, really, really want to walk with God, and I want to get to the end of my life and be able to look back on my life and be unashamed at the coming of the Lord Jesus, then I'll swallow my pride, humble myself, and receive instruction. And allow someone to tell me, you're doing it wrong. Don't do it that way. Do it this way. Now, what about you? Are you seeking instruction? Let me show you some people who did. First of all, the first one that I would say who sought instruction, there are many, but the first one that I would say is Joshua. Joshua. Look with me at Joshua chapter number 5. Now, you remember in Joshua chapter 1, you remember Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 5? Okay, we're not turning there, but we're turning to Joshua 5. But in Joshua 5, here's what God said to Joshua. There shall no man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's what God promised Joshua when Joshua was chosen to lead the people of Israel. And yet Joshua didn't take that promise of God and with pride lead God's people. He sought instruction. Look at Joshua 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. I think that was Jesus that met Joshua before they crossed over Jordan. And I think, by the way, that Jesus then crossed over with them eventually as they went over. That's my opinion, and I think it's right. But regardless of whether or not I'm right, what we see on that is Joshua was humble. Even though he had the promise of God that nobody would be able to stand before him, all that God promised would happen. Yet when Joshua came and saw that this is the captain of the Lord's host, here's what Joshua did. He humbled himself and he said to the Lord, All right, what do you have to say to me? Tell me, what do you want me to do? Isn't it interesting? The Bible doesn't say what he said to him other than take your shoes off. That's it. But next chapter, we have Joshua leading the battle against Jericho and obviously being triumphant, right? So Joshua is one who sought instruction in the Bible. Let me give you another example. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 2. David is a great example. 2 Samuel chapter number 2. You remember in 1 Samuel, David spent years running from Saul in the wilderness. And in 2 Samuel 2, King Saul is now dead. Now here's something interesting, by the way. The Bible doesn't say in this one passage of Scripture that David sought instruction, but we recently went through the passage of Scripture that talked about how David spared Saul's life in the cave and then later on in that valley area. You remember all that? When David had the opportunity to kill Saul, you remember that David's men told him, David, here's your opportunity. This is the opportunity that God has given you to kill your enemy. One of the things I brought out to my Sunday school class is, think about how David must have been tempted to kill Saul at that point, not just because he wanted to be relieved from having to run from Saul, but I think if we were there, we would have thought that God was opening up the circumstances to where this is God's will. Because not only did it happen once, it happened twice. And I think for sure the second time you and I, as carnal as we are, we would have said, oh, this is definitely God's will. I mean, look, the circumstances are pointing to this. This is definitely God's will. David was wiser than you and me. He based his life on God's word rather than circumstances. Did you hear that? He based his life on God's word rather than circumstances. And we see that again here in 2 Samuel chapter number 2. Notice as Saul is dead now, notice what the Bible tells us in verse 1. And it came to pass after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said, Unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Just a small passage of Scripture, but one that shows us David was humble, and he sought God's instruction. He didn't, as Saul was dead, he didn't run to where Saul was from and, you know, take over the throne and demand that he sit on the throne. He didn't take his men and storm the castle gates, so to speak. He didn't do any of those things. Here's what he did. He humbled himself before God and said, God, what do you want me to do? He sought instruction. Why? Because David loved knowledge. And he was wise in that way. Here's another example of somebody did. Let's go to the New Testament. Here's somebody that I think is amazing. Acts chapter number 10, if you would. We're not going to read all of it. There's a lot there, and we want to get through a lot this evening. Acts chapter number 10, look at verse 33, if you would, with me. You remember this man, Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile. He's a leader of an Italian band. In other words, he is a Roman soldier. He is leading men. He is a leader in his own right. He's the one who gives commands in his own right. Not somebody who you would think would be prone to ask for help and instruction. But as the angel of God appeared to him and said, go send men to Joppa and ask for one, Peter, who's there dwelling with Simon the tanner, and bring him and he'll show you what the words of life are. Cornelius does that. Peter comes. When Peter says, what do you want from me? Look at verse 33. Here's how Cornelius answers. He says, Immediately, therefore, this is Acts 10:33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius, a leader. He probably had a house that was somewhat on a high level. As in, you know, he wasn't living in, you know, an apartment somewhere in the ghetto area. He's a leader. He's a military leader. He's an honored man. He probably has a higher end living, a higher end situation. He has servants, and he sends to Peter. Now, I'm going to break some news to you. Peter was not the first pope. All right, I know it's a shock to many of you, all right? But he wasn't the first pope, so he didn't live in an immaculate situation. Peter didn't show up with all the vestments, gold, say, kiss my ring, Cornelius. He didn't do any of that. Who was Peter? A common, ordinary fisherman turned apostle. Just an average guy. Cornelius gathers all of his household together, brings Peter in, and says, all right, Peter, tell us, what did God tell you to tell us? That's humility, friends. That's somebody who, by the world standards, would never take instruction from somebody like Peter, but he was wise enough to love knowledge and to recognize Peter has something that God's given him that I want to learn from. So Peter, here I am, I'm open to you. You tell me, what did God tell you? I'm here to learn. That's humility. That's somebody who sought instruction. He's a great example to you and me. And of course, he was saved through all of that, wasn't he? Let me show you some people in the Word of God now who failed to seek instruction. Some people who failed to seek instruction. There's some famous people in here. First of all, the ones that I thought of were Abraham. Now, not all of his life, obviously, but Abraham failed to seek instruction when he went down to Egypt. You remember that? How did that turn out? Well, that turned out pretty bad. Came back with Hagar. You remember how all that came about? Before long, because of Hagar, he has Ishmael now as a part of his life. And the children of Israel have had enemies for all of their existence, right? Because of Abraham's lacking the wisdom to seek instruction from God, just kind of doing things on his own. We talked about Joshua and how Joshua sought God, but there was a time when Joshua didn't seek instruction. Look at Joshua chapter number 9. So we're back to the book of Joshua. Let's look now at chapter number 9 and verse 14. You remember that there were some people from the city of Gibeon. They were intimidated by the children of Israel. They recognized that, man, we're not going to be able to defeat these people. Let's deceive them and tell them that we're not from this area. We're from a long ways off, and we want to make peace with you. And so they feigned a long journey and lied to the children of Israel. And notice what the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 9 and verse 14. And the men, we're talking about the men of Israel, took their victuals. In other words, they looked at the bread that was moldy and the bottles of juice that they had brought that were broken, right? They took that and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, verse 15. Well, if you remember how that turned out, it turned out bad. They were wrong in doing that. And what happened? The Bible says they took their victuals. What that means is they took them and they based their decision on what they saw. They based their decision on what they saw. The Bible tells us there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I do not doubt that for most of us, if not all of us, when we do wrong, it's not because we look at a situation, we know that it's wrong, and we choose it anyway, we know it's going to bring destruction, and we do it anyway just out of spite. Now, that happens from time to time because we're rebellious. But most of the time when we do wrong, we're doing wrong based on what we see. And we see something and we make a determination on it based on what we see, and therefore we do it and we end up doing the wrong thing and we mess up. Because we weren't humble enough to seek instruction. We didn't love knowledge. We based our information on sight, and we're not supposed to do that. What does the Bible tell us in the New Testament? For we walk by faith, not by sight. We, as Christians, are to walk by faith. In other words, we're to love instruction, get into God's Word, base our life on God's Word. Christian, let me ask you, are you basing your life on God's Word? Parents, let me ask you, are you basing the rearing of your children on God's Word? Or on what popular culture tells you you should do with your children? Are you raising your children on God's Word or on what family pressure is for you to do with your children? Are you basing your raising of your children on God's Word or what you think in man's wisdom you should do? See, when we love instruction, when we love knowledge, God will keep us from the bad things in life, but we have to love knowledge. We have to seek that instruction. Let me give you another example of some people who did not love knowledge. Turn to Hosea chapter number 4. Hosea chapter 4, we want to look at verse 6. Hosea chapter number 4. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Boy, there's that word again, isn't it? My people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. That's the same word that's used in Proverbs 12, isn't it? He that loveth instruction loveth knowledge. It's the same word that's used in Proverbs 2 where it talks about how we're going to be spared from the froward man and from the strange woman when we seek after wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Knowledge is one of those words. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And by the way, can I tell you, that is not talking about not knowing what's going on behind the scenes in the World Economic Forum. That's not what that means. What that means is my people are destroyed because they're not seeking the book. Because they're not crying after the knowledge of God. Dear God, as I read your word this morning, as I get up and I have your word open on my lap this morning for devotions, God, would you give me knowledge? Christians aren't crying after God's word and crying after the instruction that he can give, and they are destroyed because of it. I heard of somebody this week who told me that they had lost a loved one. And the loved one, in the funeral time and all of that, the family, who is supposedly Christian, didn't want to say much about the deceased having been born again, believing on Jesus Christ, all that kind of stuff. They just said the person was an individual of faith. And I was talking with this person about how discouraging that is, and that modern Christianity is that way. Friends, think about that for just a minute. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's, in general, in Christianity, there's a desire for, you know, smooth talk. There's desire to you know, come and, I notice this when I look on YouTube and see the different churches that are on YouTube with their live streams. And so many of them now, not all of them, but a lot of them say, you know, worship experience. And there's so much of a desire in modern Christianity for an experience. Rather than we as Christians humbling ourselves before God and say, God, if you don't instruct me, if you don't give me wisdom, I'm going to mess this up. God, would you please give me instruction? Show me what to do. God, wound me. Show me where I'm wrong. Change me. God, I want to do it right. I want to do it your way. I want to be reproved. We need that. Let's look on in Hosea 4 and verse, or I'm sorry, yeah, Hosea 4 verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Now notice verse 12, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. You see, the people of Israel who were destroyed for lack of knowledge, it isn't that they weren't asking for instruction. Oh, they were. They just weren't asking it of God. And we live in a day like that. I've referenced this recently, where people are seeking for self-help everywhere. The biggest blogs on the internet are about self-help. The best-selling books, a lot of them are about self-improvement. And many times, as God's people, we're going there for help and not to God. We're like the children of Israel in Hosea's day. We're seeking wisdom and instruction from other gods rather than the one true God. Let me speak to the younger generation here today. Those of you who are you know, young adults, and even the young marrieds, but especially the young adults that are not yet married. Because I have the privilege of having children that are your age, I have a little bit of a glimpse into your culture and the dangers of your culture and the attitude and atmosphere that you're in. And that attitude and atmosphere, again, is what I'm talking about, where there is so much information out there on the internet for you to glean from. And what I'm finding is that age group has a tendency to spend hours watching videos on how to be the best man possible or how to be the best woman possible, and yet very little time in God's Word. Let me just say to the young adults, with all the love and kindness that I possibly can, listen, if you're watching YouTube videos on how to improve at a greater rate than you're reading God's Word, and again, I'm going to say this kindly, but shame on you. You ought to be ashamed. These things ought not to be, brethren. You've got your focus in the wrong place. Get into God's Word. Read God's Word. That's where the wisdom is. Young men, you want to be the best man possible. You want to be a great potential husband and leader and father. Get into God's Word. That's where the wisdom is. Young ladies, you want to be a great mother and wife and just, you know, citizen and individual and all of that. Get into God's Word. That's where the wisdom is. As the psalmist said in Psalm 119, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? I think it said, because your precepts are my meditation, I think, if I remember right. But either way, it's because I'm in the book. That's why I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why was it that Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah in Babylon, why is it that they were preferred above the other princes? Because the spirit of wisdom was in them, and that spirit came from God. They didn't need the wisdom of the Chaldeans. They had the wisdom of the living God. You have that also in your hands. Access it. Get into it. We don't have time to look at this passage of Scripture. I want to move along, but another individual or individuals that I thought of that failed to seek instruction were the leaders of Israel, or Judah, I should say, in Jeremiah's day. You remember when Babylon had come through and taken a majority of the people into Babylon, and then the leaders came to Jeremiah and said, ask God for us what we should do. Should we go into Egypt or stay here? And of course, they did so falsely. They didn't really care what God wanted. They had their own ideas, but they made a good religious show of it. I just wanted to point out to us, that's a danger sometimes. It's easy for us to put on the good religious show. You know what I'm talking about, because you're here on a Sunday night. You're like me. It's tradition. This is what we do. I'm here because I'm a good Christian, and good Christians go to church on Sunday night. So here we are, and we hear the Word of God, and sometimes we're in an attitude where it goes in one ear and out the other. We don't really have any intent on changing anything. We're not seeking after God. We're not begging Him for instruction. We're just hearing the Word of God, and we say, oh, that was nice, preacher. That was a beautiful message. Good job. All right, and we go our ways, and we do our own things. I know, because I'm with you. Are we seeking instruction? Now, that brings me to the third and final point of the message, and that is, how can we seek instruction? The first point, or the first answer to that question of how can we seek instruction is, number one, you guessed it, read and meditate on the Word of God. That's where wisdom is. Read and meditate on the Word of God. You remember Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, right? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When are you going to have good success and be prosperous? When you're meditating on God's word. That's what God told Joshua. But turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 24. Psalm 119, verse 24, and then also verse 99. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. There it is. If you need counsel, where can you go? The Word of God, the testimonies of God. All right? Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. Thy testimonies. You see, friends, what God has written in His Word, the testimony that God has given of Himself and of this world, when we meditate on those things, that's where we gain wisdom. When we begin to think of the world through the lens of what is God's view of the world. When we think of situations through God's lens, that's when we have wisdom. So we need to read and meditate on God's Word. Let me encourage you to get into God's Word and read it and meditate on it. Now, one of the things that we've done this year is we've included a Bible reading schedule in the bulletin. And I want you to understand, there is no pressure whatsoever from me that you would follow the Bible reading schedule that I put in there. But I want to give you a resource of a good Bible reading schedule. Now, you might say, but Pastor, that is a lot of reading. It's 10 chapters every day. And what you'll notice is throughout the year, some of the books you're going to read through several times, including Job. But I want to encourage you, you have more time to read that than you think. I would encourage you, don't read it all in one chunk. Read a few chapters here and a few chapters there. Make it your meditation throughout the day. Many of you, like me, have a Bible app on your phone. When you have 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, rather than opening your phone and opening the Facebook app or the news app or the weather app, or sometimes if you're like me, you just open the phone and you go, I don't even know why I'm looking at this. It's just an addiction. I don't know why I'm doing this. Open up the Bible app and read another chapter. Let that be your meditation. Save one or two chapters for right before you go to bed at night. And as you're laying there in bed, before you put your head on the pillow, just read the last couple of chapters. Let your mind and your heart be saturated with the Word of God. Read and meditate on the Word of God. Let it be something that you do all the time. Seek after knowledge and instruction. Then let me encourage you this. Turn over to the book of Psalms and Psalm number 1. Because the next part is not only in seeking instruction should we read and meditate on God's Word, but in Psalm 1 we learn that we need to stay away from worldly counsel. Stay away from worldly counsel. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Stay away from the counsel of the ungodly. It says that the man is blessed who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Listen, stay away from the worldly counsel. Again, I have an opportunity to kind of work with young people who are at that age of done with high school and into college and all of that. One of the things I notice is there's a lot of places where they're going to get ideas of this thing or that thing. And this is the kind of mate I ought to seek after. And this is the way I ought to choose my career. And here's how I can better myself and all of that. And I'm glad that there's a desire for that. But be careful. So much of that sounds good to the ear, but it's worldly counsel. When God many times does things counter-culture, God many times does things counter to what is intuitive. Take David, for example, and the potential to kill Saul. You remember his men said to him as he was in the cave, the men said, "This is the time that God promised you would come when you'd have an opportunity to kill your enemies." And in David's ears, I'm sure that rang like truth. He must have said, "Man, there's some wisdom there. I don't know, it sure seems right." But you see, he had to put aside worldly counsel and seek godly counsel. You and I need to do the same thing. So watch out for and stay away from worldly counsel. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Here's another passage of scripture that I think is applicable. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I've often read that and taught on it, preached on it, as there is a time where we need the milk of the word rather than the meat of God's word. And there's probably an application there, and that's probably true. But I think the thrust of that scripture is less about whether or not it's milk versus meat. I think what it's using as an illustration is, how does a newborn baby desire milk? Is it a passing fancy? Is it a, you know, I take it or leave it kind of thing? Those of you who are parents of newborns or little children who not that long ago were newborns, you tell me, what does that cry sound like in the middle of the night when the baby's hungry? Yeah, no big deal, right? They're like, "Mom, you know, if you get a chance, could you? If not, it's okay, Mom. Don't worry about it. If you're not able, it's all right. I'll just go back to sleep," right? No. They are crying out as if death is imminent, aren't they? In fact, there comes a time where you just kind of have to say, you know what? They need to sleep through the night, and I know they're not going to die, but that's a whole other lesson, right? But boy, when they're a newborn baby, they're crying as if death is imminent if they don't get some milk immediately. I think that's what God is saying. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Cry out for it. God, I've got to have it. God, it's not a take it or leave it. When you get a chance, would you please? It's, God, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to be like that baby in the crib who will not let mom and dad sleep until they get up and give me that milk. I'm not going to let them sleep. God, I'm not going to let you rest. I've got to have your wisdom. That's what God is seeking for from us. That's what you and I should do to seek instruction. So read and meditate on God's word. Stay away from worldly counsel. Number three, seek Bible preaching. Seek Bible preaching. A great advantage that all of us have that God wants us to use in this day and age is Bible preaching. Getting in the Word of God is first and foremost. Get in and study it for yourself. That's first. But beyond that, seek Bible preaching. And again, one of the beautiful things about our day and age is you can get preaching all over the place. It is so readily available. Use it. Now, let me encourage you, don't just seek preaching that is enjoyable to listen to. There's nothing wrong with a message that's enjoyable to listen to. And some preachers are more enjoyable to listen to than others. But don't just seek preaching based on, well, I like that guy, he's fun to listen to. That's fine. But seek Bible preaching. Seek the preaching of the Word of God that will give you instruction. Someone who takes the Word of God and feeds it to you. Verse by verse is my preferred method of the way the Bible ought to be taught in a church. And just taking the Word of God and revealing, not what can I say out of this passage, but what does this passage say? That's what we ought to seek, and seek that. You can find it if you look for it. Be careful. You can certainly get advice from me and from others if you want about who's good and who's not, but listen, seek Bible preaching and listen to it. Let that be your listening on your way to work or as you're doing your exercises throughout the day. Rather than music and all of that, listen to some Bible preaching. When you get home at night, on your smart TV, rather than watching a movie, go to YouTube and find a good preacher. Sit down with a family and listen to a message. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good. By the way, parents, it's a great opportunity to train your kids to sit still in church. Use that opportunity. Train them there at home to sit and be quiet while the preacher is opening up God's Word. There's a tidbit of information, great opportunity for you. But use that Bible preaching opportunity that you have. And then let me give you number four, walk with wise men. When you're wanting to seek instruction, walk with godly men and women. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Find people who are more mature than you in the Christian faith and hang out with them. Walk with them. Seek their counsel. And then the last one is probably the most important. Turn to the book of James in chapter number 1, if you would. James chapter number 1. This one could have been first. I saved it for last. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Really, the first thing we ought to do, even before picking up God's Word, is we ought to ask God for wisdom. Then we pick up God's Word, trusting that He's going to give us the wisdom that He said He would give through His Word. But ask God. And as we close, let me ask you this question. How much do you seek instruction? Are you looking for God through His man, through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, through other friends, to wound you and say, don't do it that way. Do it this way. We should be seeking that because when we do, it proves that we love knowledge, and knowledge will keep us from the froward man and from the strange woman. Let's pray, and we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father,